Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
It's the amazing Rico Bronya podcast with your host, Evan Roberts.
Yeah, baby! How we doing on this beautiful evening? Rico Bronya, Drive Home Edition. And aren't we in a good mood? I know I'm in a good mood because the New York Mets have opened up a giant can of Subway Series whoop-ass as they dominate the New York Yankees. We beat the crap out of them. I think the final score was 12-2. It was a very long night here at Citi Field. It was a very eventful night at Citi Field. This is a drive-home podcast, so if you are listening as a podcast, you know, after the fact, that's why the audio isn't great. I'm in my car. I'm right now turning to get out of this parking lot. One of the beautiful things about a blowout, one of the beautiful things about a rain delay of an hour and a half, is that getting out of this stadium much easier, much smoother than the previous night. And obviously, I'm much more focused tonight. I apologize for yesterday. Yesterday was a very emotional day, as you may or may not know. But who gives a crap, all right? It's baseball season. And right now, the baseball team we root for is red hot. And we have accomplished a tiny goal, but a goal that's very, very important. And that is the goal of 500. And trust me, 500 is mediocrity. You need to be better than 500 if you want to go places. But it is step number one. It's actually probably like step five during the course of this season. But getting to 500, which the Mets have been able to do by sweeping the New York Yankees, is an accomplishment. This team was 11 games under 500 on May 30th. That was the rock bottom moment where they got swept by the Los Angeles Dodgers, where Jorge Lopez is throwing his glove. And look, we all deep down, even the more optimistic of us, and I certainly think coming into the season I was optimistic, and certainly over the first month and a half I was optimistic, but even I and most of us thought, well, this is going to be a lost season. The New York Mets for now, I'd say about 3.5 weeks, so not a terrible sample size, have been kicking ass and taking names. And they've been doing it the way I think we dreamt it up, which is a big-time offense. This offense always had potential. If Brandon Nimmo and Francisco Lindor and Pete Alonso were just themselves, and obviously Francisco Lindor has awoken big time. Brandon Nimmo is an on-base machine. Pete Alonso has not been, you know, unbelievable, especially in this series. But that if that can just happen and they can be them to go along with some youth and some injection, this offense can be special. And we saw it again in this game, game two of the Subway Series, that the youth was the difference. And who I'm talking about today is not Mark Vientos, but I'm talking about Francisco Alvarez. What a freaking beast. How good has Francisco Alvarez been? And one thing we learned about him last year is he's an incredibly streaky player. And even before he went on the IL in April, which kind of killed our season a little bit, Francisco got off to an amazing start for about a week and a half, and then he cooled off. And he first comes back from the injured list, doesn't do much offensively, but we are pointing towards the team ERA when he catches, how good he is defensively. Well, now he's hitting. I mean, now his numbers are filthy, small sample size. You know, I mentioned yesterday, and I say it again with a clearer head, that I thought his at-bat against Gerrit Cole in the first inning was the most pivotal at-bat of the game. Underratedly pivotal at-bat. He drew a walk. He set up Tyrone Taylor to get the base hit. And then, you know, obviously Gerrit Cole is a different pitcher, brought down his velocity. In this game, we saw the absolute power that Alvarez has to right field. Scary power. Both him and Mark Vientos, two right-handed sluggers. And we saw that today. This is not a Yankee podcast. This isn't the Hensley Mullins. We'll worry about that when we get on the Fan. But look, the Mets kicked Luis Gil's ass. And there's still some doubt on who he is. But right now, here's what I know. Here's what you know. It doesn't matter if it's Gerrit Cole. It doesn't matter if it's Luis Gil. It doesn't matter if it's Shota Imanaga. The Mets are hitting everybody. I mean, the home runs we saw in the last two games, and granted, some of it was kind of piling on at the end against Yandres Gomez, who was taking one for the team. But Harrison Bader played angry. Harrison Bader played like it was almost an insult to him that the Yankees didn't want to bring him back. Francisco Lindor was an extra base hit machine. I thought JD's hit early was huge. I mean, the Mets are just like top to bottom, everybody's hitting. I know Jeff McNeil is still relatively quiet, but it's funny. When you're scoring 12 runs a game, 9 in game 1, 12 in game 2, 21 runs against the Yankees, it's easier to not get pissed off about Jeff McNeil, right? But, man, were they bombing balls tonight. Tyrone Taylor goes deep. I mentioned Bader, Francisco Alvarez. This offense right now, that's the strength of the team. You know, we always say, what is the identity of a baseball team? And a couple of years ago in 2022, when they went over 100 games, I think the identity always was they've got two aces. They've got two Hall of Famers. And, oh, yeah, they've got a closer having a historic season. Right now, and we are almost at the halfway point of this season, the Mets are at 539-39. I think the identity of this team is the length of this offense, is the fact that not only are they scoring a ton of runs, not only has Lindor reminded us that maybe we shouldn't have given up on him, and I say we very liberally because I didn't give up on him, but some of you did, and that's, it is what it is. It's baseball. Sometimes we get frustrated, but this is a lineup that may not feature Juan Soto or Aaron Judge, because as much as we love our guys, nobody in this lineup is Juan Soto or Aaron Judge, and it's not particularly close, and that's not a knock on Pete or Francisco. It's just the reality. But what the Mets have is depth. What the Mets have right now is a lineup that keeps coming at you, and it's good to see Tyrone Taylor contributing, because I think he is certainly kind of laid out first blood in terms of being the everyday right fielder until Starling Marte's come back. You know, we've talked about the options. Do they go with DJ Stewart? Well, look, they just faced two right-handed pitchers in a row, in Gerrit Cole and Luis Gil, and he went to Tyrone Taylor. And I think a part of it is not that he thought Tyrone Taylor would hit a home run today or that Tyrone Taylor was going to get a bases loaded hit in the first inning. I think a lot of that's defense. I think a lot of that is Mendy saying, you know what, I like our lineup. I think we're scoring a ton of runs, which we have. I'm going to put defense first by playing Tyrone Taylor in right field. But think about it. First two games, right-handed pitchers. We've seen the exact same lineup, and we've seen Tyrone Taylor play right field. They are facing, if I'm not mistaken, two righties in this series against Houston. I know they are facing Framber Valdez over the weekend, a lefty, but they're facing Ronel Blanco for sure, and I forget who else. But at this point, I keep playing Tyrone Taylor. You know, Mendy has given us a lot of things we like, and one of which is playing with your gut, and the other is this guy's deserving to play, so I'm going to play him. And so let Tyrone Taylor get that crack at right field. I still think Jose Iglesias deserves a chance to play, but whatever. The Mets are winning basically every single night, and it's remarkable, man. I mean, watching what we saw today. So as far as the starting pitching was concerned, Sean Manaea, and look, a lot of this is kind of a Yankee thing. So you can certainly look at the Yankee perspective. We'll certainly all do it on WFAN tomorrow along with the Met perspective. The Yankees are a mess right now. I mean, they grounded into three double plays early, but for the sake of the Rico, I'd say Sean Manaea showed guts. And Sean Manaea was able to overcome the fact that he didn't have his best control. He did have the attitude early, which I'm with him on. I can't let Juan Soto and Aaron Judge beat me. And we saw that right away again. And look, I think at different parts of the game, you've got to kind of change that philosophy. When you have a 7-0 lead, was I okay with attacking him? And he hits the 2-run home run and make it 7-2. I got to be honest, yeah. And as much as I say, pitch around Aaron Judge, you can't let him beat you, and I stand by that, there are some moments where when you have a big lead, you just got to go after him. So, honestly, when they were up 7-0, and I think Judge was behind in the count when he hit that 2-run home run. Obviously, I'm driving. I don't have my scorecard in front of me. I think it was 1-2. But I'm not mad about it. Like, I think there are certain situations where when you build a big lead, you just got to take your chances. And luckily, we don't have to talk about this for a month because that's the next time the Mets play the Yankees, and God knows what they're going to look like by that point. I mean, if we're being honest, it's only a few days before the trade deadline, and I think the Yankees will get hot. That's a story for a different day. So I think they're going to look like a different team in a month. But I didn't have an issue with that. Sean Manaea was great for 5. I think he was at the end of the road anyway when the rain hit. That rain delay was something else, man, because it felt as if, and I don't know if you're at the game, you felt differently. It felt like nobody wanted to leave. And at that point, the Mets had opened up. I think it was 4-0. Alvarez had just gotten the RBI double. The rains open up. Luckily, you checked the weather app. You kind of knew this thing wasn't going to last forever. It seemed like it was going to be a relatively short rain delay. But that was, if you saw it, an epic rainstorm. And it didn't feel like anybody was trying to leave. So I go back to the corridor of the Piazza Club. And my first reaction, I say to my dad, I'm at the game with him. I said, I need Mr. Softy. I need some freaking ice cream. It's hot. It's humid. I don't give a damn how long the line is because, hey, guess what? It's a rain delay. What else are we going to do? So I mosey on my way to get myself Mr. Softy, and I encountered something, and I don't know if this person is listening. Probably not. A Yankee fan. And I would say he was in his late 20s, and Yankee fans are usually very classy. I had a lot of great times today with Yankee fans. And this guy looks into my eyes very intently, and he doesn't say, like, you suck, which would have been fine. That's okay. He looks at me and says, you're not making the playoffs. And I'm like, okay. I mean, what, you want me to fight you? I'm just trying to get Mr. Softy, bro. And I'm like, okay. And he says, no, I'm telling you, you're lucky right now. Your team is lucky right now. You are not making the playoffs. And he said it just like that. That's a pretty accurate imitation. I'm no Giannotti, but trust me, that sounded like the guy. And I'm looking at him saying, okay, like, do you want me to argue with you? I don't think, like, I'm going to fight you about this. It's freaking baseball. It's mid-June. The Mets are playing incredibly well. I ain't going to fight you about if they're making the playoffs or not, because quite frankly, I'm not even thinking about it right now in the middle of June. No, I am, because I think about tiebreakers. But you know what I mean? So I said, okay, it was great meeting you. I really need to get ice cream. And as I walk away, he repeats the same thing. I actually thought he was going to kill me for a second. Like, I thought for a second, I think this guy's an axe murderer, and he's really pissed off that I'm a Met fan and I'm existing right now in this world. But then, man, that ice cream, tremendous. And I know they overcharge you when you get the home run apple, but I've gotten into the world now where, forget the hat. Now, the hat's nice. The hat's solid. They've gotten a little cheap with the hat. At least where I go, they give you the same blue traditional Met hat. A year ago, they would give you all these different creative Met helmets when you would eat your ice cream. So I got the home run apple, and I got to tell you, man, when I sat down at the Piazza Club, I sat on the floor, let my dad find the seat. I don't need to sit on a couch. that ice cream experience was exotic. Like, my God, it went down. So it was probably the best ice cream I've ever had. And I'm not sure if it was because we were whipping the Yankee ass. Maybe that was it. I'm not sure if it was because it was really hot or it was a long day or I just really needed ice cream. But my God, that chocolate with the sprinkles, oh, it hit the spot. I enjoyed the rain delay. You know, good hour before I went back to the seat because the rain was crazy. And I'm sure you guys have seen, whether they showed it on the broadcast or maybe you saw it on social media, like it was some freaking epic rain, man. And it stopped quickly. So once it stopped, I'd say I was in the Piazza Club for, you know, maybe 45 minutes. I go out to check, the rain had stopped, and I'm like, screw it, let's go sit in the seat. So we sit in the seat, we watch the tarp come off. I give the Mets a lot of credit, City Field a lot of credit. There was a lot of water. It was such a horrible storm. There were puddles in left field. They seemed to clean it out pretty good. It was funny because the Mets had the lead and it was an official game. So when the delay starts, at least in the back of your mind, you're thinking to yourself, you know what? Worst comes to worst, we got to win. I hate that crap. I'm not a fan of official games. You know, you want to tell me it's 9-0 in the eighth inning, fine. But when a game is in the sixth inning, or in this case, the fifth inning, you can't tell me that's a baseball game. But you could see by the forecast that it was going to stop and they were going to play. So Mendy and Boone met at one point with the umpires and it looks like they were going over the field. And my dad says to me, you think they would bang this game right now because of the field? Or actually, I said that to my dad. And he looks back and says, Boone would have a conniption. They bang the game, the Yankees lose. So obviously they didn't. It took them a while. They got the field set up. And then those who were left, and I would say people leave during the rain delay. I didn't think they were leaving at first. Eventually they did. You got yourself an energetic crowd. A lot of drunk Met Yankee fans. I did see the grimace beer drinking on the Shea Bridge, which was freaking awesome. I also did see, and I tweeted this out if you missed it, the Mets kind of make fun of me. That's what I thought. They do this over-under thing. I don't know if you saw this, Hoff, but they do like an over-under betting game in between innings. And they asked the guy, the contestant, they said, do you think there will be another blockbuster trade between New York teams, much to the pain of Evan Roberts? And I'm like, what? Am I being mocked on the big screen right now? And yes, I was. And yeah, I guess people like mocking me because of what happened last night.
Well, listen, clearly everyone's locked into the Rico and especially your drive homes. So they were looking for, wow, what a great win by the Mets. And they got met with that debacle of a 5-minute rant on Mikal Bridges. So, they just want you to remember that this is a Mets podcast.
That was the message. The message was, shut up about role players and just talk about the Mets. Well, you got it. But I do appreciate them clowning me a little bit. That's all fun. Good, fun-natured stuff. But I tell you the grimace thing, man. I think that anyone who's doubted grimace has to fully embrace it. It's a thing, and it's working right now. I'm wondering if the Mets are going to pivot to a grimace bobblehead or a grimace doll giveaway or kind of go with some kind of giveaway because it is truly our thing right now. But the Mets pummel them after the rain delay to the point where Boone is taking out Aaron Judge. He's taking out Juan Soto. We did see some shoddiness after the rain delay. We saw Mark Vientos make an error. And I got to give credit to Adam Ottavino. I know we all take turns beating the crap out of him. And look, I didn't see this until we talked about it on the radio today. We did talk about it, Evan and Tiki, about the Adam Ottavino saying effing douchebag. Basically, he worded it as he was taken out of the game the other night. And we examined it real quick on the air. Tiki doesn't think he's calling himself an effing douchebag. It's probably the umpire. If it's Carlos Mendoza, I'm not saying you necessarily got a DFA him, but you certainly have a talk with him. Mendy goes right back to him. And I know a part of that is circumstance. Drew Smith went on the injured list today. More on that in a few minutes. But Adam Ottavino comes in a tough spot and initially throws a pitch that's going to get a double play
And Mark Vientos, who's been mostly really good at third base, botches it. He's clearly thinking about the double play, tries to reach into his glove, throw to second too quickly. Errors committed. Credit to Ottavino for getting out of it. You know, at that point, it's a 7-2 game. The Yankees are on the doorstep of at least making this a very close game and making us sweat. And as much as we crap on Adam Ottavino, rightfully so, I do want to give him props for his performance in this game. Because he overcame the Mark Vientos error, he got through the inning, and the Mets were at least able to keep that 7-2 lead intact. They were, you know, obviously able to tack on more runs. And then Adrian Houser got what I like to call the Phil Mushnick special, which is a three-inning save in a 12-2 game. Part of the save rule is that if you pitch three innings to end the game, no matter how many runs you're up by, that counts as a save. And Phil Mushnick loves to complain about that. So it's the Phil Mushnick save. That's the way I look at it. By the way, I never put my GPS on. 12:30. Oh, my God. That's my ETA. 12:30. But, hey, it's an hour and a half rain delay. So I stay through the rain delay. I don't leave early. And I ran into another gentleman. And Met fans, you're going to love this gentleman. In fact, this gentleman is somebody that Sal Licata, my coworker, will be a big fan of. And trust me, Sal is very aware of this gentleman because I texted him immediately. There was a gentleman sitting next to me, and there was nobody left because it's 12-2, it's the ninth inning. And he starts talking to me. He's like, Evan, do you stay to the end for every game? And I said, I do. I never leave early. You never know what's going to happen. And then he looks at me and says, hey, I'm from the future. And I'm like, what is going on? And he holds up a Juan Soto Mets jersey. Now you know why I texted Sal. So the guy holds up a Juan Soto Mets jersey and starts smiling and says, do you want to take a picture? And I'm like, sure, why not? It's 12-2. I'll take a picture. And I'll even tweet it out there. I know that will cause angst amongst Yankee fans. Don't get mad at me. I've done nothing. I do not talk as much about Juan Soto's free agency until the time comes. I've said my piece about Juan Soto during the offseason. I made my opinions known. I have tried my hardest, not perfectly, during the regular season to not pay much attention to him because that's not my worry. Even during hard times, my worry is winning right now. My worry is pennant race. My worry is that. And we'll get to Juan Soto in free agency, just like we'll get to Corbin Burns in free agency, right? We're going to talk about him. But I did take a picture of this gentleman. It is on my Twitter account of him holding up his number 22 Juan Soto Mets jersey. And I do wonder to this gentleman, you probably had to spend $110 on it. Are you wearing it? And how dumb are you going to feel if he doesn't come here? Years ago, I was in Orlando, Florida, Mets spring training, and I went to an Orlando Magic game that night. And the Knicks happened to be playing the Magic, so it turned out to be a Knicks Magic game. And I took a picture. I could probably find it in my archives, or maybe you could find it on my Twitter archives. That's a posted and toasted. Of a guy wearing a LeBron James Knicks jersey. And here's the thing about that time period. It was after LeBron had picked Miami. And so I'm saying to this guy, did you make it before he signed? And then did you just put it on? Because if you make a Juan Soto Mets jersey and you dropped all that money and he stays with the Yankees, which I think we mostly admit is the likeliest scenario, what are you going to do with it? Are you going to wear it? Oh, wait, I know what you can do with it. The same thing I've done with a Mikal Bridges jersey, right? Throw it away. But that did make me laugh. Great series win. To my fellow Met fans, it's a dream, man. They were 11 games under 500. They were 22-33. They are now 39-39. So if my math is correct, they are 16-7 in their last 23 games, going back to the Jorge Lopez glove throw and the team meeting. And if you want to narrow it down a little bit more than that, because remember, they won the first two games against Arizona, but then they lost the last two games. And the loss on Sunday that allowed Arizona to split was a horrific loss. They blew the game in the ninth inning. Ketel Marte hit a home run, hit a game-winning two-run home run, and the Mets lost that game. So I know we like to say the team meeting, we like to say the glove throwing, yeah, they won two in a row, but they lost two in a row, including that game. It really starts after that. They sweep the Washington Nationals. They split against the Philadelphia Phillies. And then they win two out of three against Miami. And certainly that final game against the Marlins was so huge. They were on the verge of losing that series. Us all feeling down on ourselves. JD hits the home run, and off we go. And the beat rolls on against the Astros. This will be a very interesting test. The Astros are probably equally as hot as we are. These are the two hottest teams in Major League Baseball, much to the chagrin of Yankee fans. The Astros and the Mets both at 500 at Citi Field on Friday night. As much as I want the Mets to play every night, I am glad they are off tomorrow. It is their final off day until the All-Star break. Two reasons why I'm glad for the off day. Number one, selfish. The other one, Met-related. Selfishly, nice, take a break. Two nights in a row at the ballpark, two nights in a row doing shows all day. Nice little time with the wife break. But from a baseball standpoint, it's for this bullpen. This is going to be a real challenge, and I think the Mets are going to have to get very creative starting on Friday, or at least sometime this weekend, in terms of getting fresh arms up here. So get the off day, get the rest that's needed for Adam Ottavino, because, yes, he'll be used as much as me. People may not like him, for Adrian Hauser, for Danny Young, even though I don't think he's long for this world because he has options, and we move on. The Drew Smith thing, real quick on that. This looks bad. You know, and I said this the other day when he is calling the trainer out in that ninth inning after Diaz got ejected, doesn't throw a warm-up pitch, stays in the game, gives up a hit, comes out, and now has an elbow strain, and God knows how serious it is. What were they doing? Like, I would go back to that ninth inning, and I know many of you are probably thinking, who cares? Drew Smith stinks. Look, it's not even about that. It's about the fact they need as many arms as they can. They're going to have to throw you in waves over the next couple of weeks. But the handling of it was very strange to have him not throw a warm-up pitch and have it turn out to be something, because he said after the game he just thought it was stiffness and he didn't give himself enough time to warm up after Diaz was thrown out. It's not a good look. And the Mets are going to have to give you a ton of arms. They did call up this Ty Adcock, who I guess had been pitching better at Syracuse. I'll do some more research on him. But they're going to have to get very creative. I love the idea of having two long men in the bullpen. I've mentioned this. I think Tyler McGill should go there when they call up Christian Scott. Because you see what a long man can do to save your bullpen. Even if this wasn't 12-2, if this was 8-2 or 7-2, even 5-2, if Adrian Hauser is going to come in and get outs, what's the problem? Like, why would you be in a rush to take him out? If you can find someone, maximize it. Because the bad news I think we have is that this rotation is not changing in terms of how deep guys go into games. You know, this is who Sean Manaea is. I know he was affected a little bit by the rain. Maybe he comes out for the sixth inning, but not much longer than that. David Peterson, same thing. Tyler McGill, when he's in it, same thing. We'll see about Christian Scott because the Mets have really tried to hold him back. And even when Kodai Senga comes back, assuming he ever does, this is going to be a thing. I mean, getting five innings out of your starting pitcher is almost an accomplishment with this rotation, and it's going to be very tough for it to be sustainable. I mentioned this a couple days ago. It's still early when it comes to the trade deadline. I'm thinking starter for reliever deals. That's the attitude I would have. I've got starters. We've got starters that you would think have value. Holy shit, that's some accident. I'm on the hutch going north. The hutch going south has some kind of bad accident that's causing a lot of traffic. It's raining outside. You got to be careful when you're driving. So, for example, you probably shouldn't do a podcast. I'm just saying. But the truth is, I'm not really doing anything. I'm talking into a freaking phone as I drive home. What else would I be doing? Lastly, the SNY booth is the best booth in baseball. With that said, we appreciate you listening, downloading, and subscribing. We will give you a cleaner Rico in the next couple of days where we'll check the emails. We won't be driving home. But we do appreciate the last couple of days. And again, my apologies for losing my brain during the drive home edition of game 1 of the Subway Series. let it not take away from the fact that while I may root for a Mickey Mouse basketball franchise, the New York Mets are the hottest team in baseball. The New York Mets have reached 500, and the New York Mets just swept the New York Yankees in stage one of the Subway Series. Thanks for listening and downloading another edition of Rico Bronya.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Rico Bronya podcast. It's amazing, isn't it? Make sure you download it now to keep it on you at all times.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.